Kavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of this gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And as we continue in our series on missions in general, one of the questions that comes up, or one of the topics, I should say, that comes up is short-term missions. You really can't talk about, especially in this day and time, about missions without talking about short-term missions.
Especially from the United States to Western point
right.
of view.
Right. Yeah. It's become a very much a popular thing to do. And so the question, you know, does short-term missions have any effect at all when it comes to fulfilling the Great Commission? And I think the short answer to that is yes, but how we do it is important.
Right. There's some issues we need to talk about.
Yeah. And often it is done ineffectively or unbiblically.
Or counterproductive.
Or counterproductive.
Yeah, exactly.
And if we're going to do short-term missions, we need to evaluate how we do it.
Right.
And we need to ask ourselves. So we're going to follow kind of three things here that I think will help us evaluate. We're just going to discuss those today. One is the reason for short-term missions. So we really need to know why we're doing it.
Right.
It's kind of important. The requirements for short-term missions. So biblical requirements that need to be had. And then the results. What are we to look for? What are we to expect out of doing short-term missions? So just kind of dive in here, because we have a lot to talk about if we're going to get it in our time frame here, is the reason for short-term missions. What's the reason for it?
I think we need to ask what motivates what we're doing. You know,
so it's not just reasons, but what's the motivation?
Yeah. Yeah, and that is, what motivates us is, in the end, the reason for us doing it.
Right.
And we want to look at two things. We'll look at some negatives and some positives. Some negative reasons, positive reasons. And some of the negatives, and our listeners may be familiar with these, may have thought of these themselves, and may have even done short-term missions for these reasons, you know, and then thought better of it later, but sometimes it's just a romantic adventure
right.
to go to another country, you know, no matter where it is, it could, you know, but if you get to go to another continent, to another country, speaks another language, eats different foods, you know, has a different...
See things you've never seen before.
Yeah, topography, all that sort of thing. Yeah, so it's exciting. That's not a good reason to go on a mission trip. It's not a good reason to motivate people to go on a mission trip. So we don't want to motivate people to go because it's going to be a romantic adventure.
Well, often this whole idea of mission trips have been the brunt of many, what I would call, many Christian comedians. They have made them
right.
their jokes, and I think this is the reason
There's
why.
There's reason for that.
Yeah. I think what we're looking at here, this idea of going on and people do a little bit of surf and paint something, and then all of a sudden they're doing a lot of sightseeing.
Mm-hmm.
And not that that's bad to sightsee in the short term. I mean, you're there, you paid that money, you want to see some of the cool things that
right.
over the centuries that God has allowed to happen. But at the same time, what are we there for? And I think we do have to ask ourselves that question.
Well, yeah, for instance, and with that in mind, sometimes it's just be entertaining or fun. You know, well, it'd be fun. That'd be fun to do.
Right.
Sometimes, and to add to that, sometimes someone you like's going. Someone you just want
when
to be
it comes among young
a friend
people,
or a person of the opposite gender.
Age,
yeah. I mean, if they're going, well, I'd like to go, man, that might go right. out really well, you know. Sometimes also it's just religious compensation.
You've done your good deed.
Yeah, you do something, maybe there's sin unresolved, or there's immaturity, or lack of reality and growth. And so you do something like this, it's like, I'm doing something for the Lord. I'm doing
right.
something for the kingdom. So
it makes you feel good about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. So can we stop that in every instance? No. But we can certainly have it in mind as we're evaluating what we do. So that's some of the negatives. That's probably not all of them, but that's enough to chew on for a little bit. Then there's some...
We could probably talk about a lot about the negatives.
Right, if we want to be negative. But then there's some positives there. People go to serve. That's not a bad reason. You know, Christians want to serve their brothers and sisters in another place.
Right.
It can be a learning experience. You mentioned it could be exposure to missions, you know, that somebody gets exposed to an opportunity that is not in their typical place.
I've often said it gives people a perspective outside of their own backyard. And
right.
I think that's important, especially depending on what aspect of the culture you come from in the United States. But I think it's true even in other places, other Western parts of the world, whether you're Canada or Europe. I mean, we're pretty accustomed to the things that we have and what we want and what we do. And so to be able to get out and see that other people live differently,
right.
than we do. I think it's important to see how other Christians live differently.
Yeah.
Because so many times in American short-term missions, or even missions in general, we go to impose our American Christianity upon them.
Yeah, our culture, yeah.
And I think that's completely wrong.
Right. And having said all that, then, the primary reason for going, these other things have to come under what is primary, and that is the proclamation of the gospel, witnessing. You know, it's interesting, I was thinking of my sister, and she's the younger of my two sisters, but she's always been real quiet. She's not, you know, not been adventurous. Right. She's content to stay at home, take care of her kids, and that sort of thing. But she went on, I think, three in a row. She had a pastor who really pushed it, and she went. And it was really quite an opportunity
for her. To Brazil, of all places.
Yeah, and she went door-to-door witnessing, of all things, you know, and sharing the gospel. And so here's the point. The main point is to proclaim the gospel, to witness, to share Christ.
And it's not wrong to go also, I would say, to strengthen the fellow believers.
Right.
In particular, maybe people who are church planting and missionaries there.
Yeah.
That are there full-time seeking to do the work.
Yeah, I know my brother Luis in Ecuador there in Esmeraldas. I think of him often, pray for him often. Mm-hmm. And it was such a joy just to be there. I mean, who am I? You know, he's in the trenches there, you know. But to be there with him, encourage him, have fellowship with him, he needed that fellowship. I benefited from fellowship.
Right.
We can encourage other believers that way. There's nothing wrong with that in the context of going to make Christ known.
Mm. Okay, so we have the reasons for short-term missions, seeing both of the eyes of positive and negative perspectives. What about the requirements? Okay, we're going to do short-term missions. if we don't think it's necessarily bad, we think it's necessary, or it's beneficial.
Right.
At the very least.
Yeah,
it serves a purpose. What are the requirements if we're going to do this?
You know, our goal here is to be somewhat brief. We're just trying to whet people's appetite and get them thinking. But this is something you could talk a lot about. You could have big discussions about, because many churches, I can't say most, but I can say there are many churches out there who have no biblical requirements. And maybe that's the first point of this, is the omission of biblical requirements. That's our first concern, that biblical requirements are omitted completely.
Okay, you're saying biblical requirements, we omit those. What are we talking about? Like, what are some biblical requirements?
Well, minimally, if a person knows Christ and is following and attempting to follow
him. So a Christian.
Him, I mean, no, but that's not, you know, sometimes we'll ask for a testimony.
Right.
But I think we need to see more than that. So that's going to keep us from jumping out there and people come and say, oh, I want to go on that trip. You know, they're not even part of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to know something about them. Do they know and follow Christ? Are they mature? If we omit these kind of things, then what are we going to get when we go?
Yeah, and I think there has to be kind of an understanding on what the trip's about. I mean, if you're taking a youth group or a college group, the maturity level of that group is probably going to be different than the maturity level of an adult group, in the sense of, not that college students aren't adults, but an older group of people who have lived life for a while. You know what I'm saying? There's going to
follow
be some differences.
For a while. Yeah.
But there does need to be some modicum of maturity.
So I think the first thing we say is we need to stop this practice of omitting biblical requirements, and then we can talk about the application of biblical requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the question you've asked. There needs to be a level of maturity. There needs to be a hunger for Christ. There needs to be, and that assumes that elders, pastors know their people, that they are overseers of the flock. So, and that's important, because if they don't know their people, that means they're going to say okay to sending people that...
Which I've seen happen in my experience, and I would say vast, because I did it for a long time, in my vast experience of doing short-term trips. Mm-hmm. We often had people come on trips that we had run references, most of them being pastoral references, mm-hmm. who said they were great people, and they were not.
Yeah, they gave you fits.
Because they didn't know those people.
Yeah.
They saw them on Sunday morning, and that's it.
Or they didn't have the spiritual fortitude,
mm-hmm.
intestinal fortitude, to say, no, I can't do that.
I feel like, in talking about this, I can speak with some sense of, not necessary authority, but expertise, in the sense of having
experience.
Done a lot of, maybe experience is a better word, a lot of experience with short-term mission trips. And I've seen seen the ugly side of it, and I've seen the good side of it. And I think what you're saying is spot on. Because if we had more pastors who took more interest in who their people were and what they were doing and who they were recommending to go on this, then we wouldn't have had all those problems.
Right.
Not only that, but my question is, if you don't know them, why aren't you knowing them?
Yeah.
Because you know they're going to do something that's very important,
right,
which is a proclamation of the gospel.
So this is a bigger issue than just mission trips. This is an issue of church polity.
Yes. How we
and how we
if you will
minister to the body and oversee the body. So that leads us then in the end to our third point, which is the results. And you know, we're a results oriented society. The church has bought into that business model, that business concept of we want to see results. Show me the results.
So if, and this is our third point here, if we're talking about results here and we're not talking about the results as the business world would see it, what are we talking about? What are we looking for in results?
Well, first of all, we need to think in terms of harmful results. We've alluded to that already. But what are some of the harmful results? Some of the harmful results are, and we talked about this before we came on, and I know in a person, something I was involved in where I tried to prevent a certain person from going on a mission trip because I knew this person would be a huge problem. But the person who was under me didn't follow my counsel.
Instruction, yeah.
And did what he wanted to do. And so this person wound up going on a trip, and it did turn into a potentially dangerous situation. Bad enough as it was.
Right.
But by God's grace, it didn't turn out well like it could have. These are the kinds of things that can happen. For heaven's sake, you can wind up with so-called Christian girls pregnant. You can, whatever thing. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that can happen. People can wind up dead because they will not submit themselves to someone who's leading a trip.
Right.
I mean, you and Micah both have had situations where you were scared out of your wits because people didn't follow instruction, and then they wound up in a place where you couldn't find them. Just these kinds of things. There's not this modicum of maturity that
it's not says, a matter of just telling people what to do.
No, you have to have someone who leads and gives direction, and people have to be willing to submit to that. So there's that, just that.
That's pretty strong, but maybe it could be something as simple as we don't want them walking away thinking the gospel is a puppet show or a skit.
That's harmful, yeah. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of God or the gospel reduced to a skit or to a puppet show. Are those things wrong? I'm not going to say they're wrong. I am going to say we better be careful that this is the measure of ministry.
Well, and having done a lot of skits in myself, the tendency in doing skits is to entertain.
Right.
The more laughs you get attention out of the kids,
yeah,
the more fun it is. And what ends up happening is among the young people, they talk about, oh, that skit was so funny, and everybody laughing, right, blah, blah, blah. And, well, did they get the gospel?
Yeah, did they get the point? Right. Which leads us into the final thing here of harmful effects, and that is just a wrong view of the gospel. You know, just an unclear understanding of the gospel. If we leave a place and have left, by our doing, an unclear understanding of the gospel, then we have done harm. We've not done good. Better to not have the trip.
Right. No, absolutely. We've talked about the reasons, we've talked about the requirements, and now we're talking about the results. Then what are we looking for? What kind of effects are we looking for?
Well, I think we're looking for holy results. That's my second point, the holy results of short-term missions. Well, I think we want to give at least maybe an initial exposure to the gospel.
The gospel needs to be clear.
Right. And so we want to expose people to plant some gospel seeds that have the potential to yield a harvest. Now, it's a harvest, somebody else may reap the harvest, or we may come back later and reap the harvest, but we want a good, clear exposure.
Well, in the case of Micah, who have traveled to Ecuador since 2010, and now it's 2008. You think about
2018, yeah.
18, sorry. went back in time. We're now seeing results.
Yeah, yeah.
We're seeing people who were young kids, who are now older, who were the kids going to the camps and the school. They're now doing the interpreting for Micah as he's teaching.
Right, yeah.
That, to me, that's where you start seeing the results. There's this one kid I know, Brian. I don't know if you'll listen to this or not, but his family's just an amazing family. And we didn't do anything special. I mean, he was already a believer. His family's solid. But the ability to work with him as a kid when he was in those camps, and now he travels with Micah and does all the interpreting. Mike says he's one of the best interpreters he has because he's so grounded and so strong. And
that's
focused.
What you want to see.
That's what
so
you
see
some
maturity in believers.
Yeah, absolutely.
another good, holy result, sanctified result, is to support the missionaries there, absolutely, to support the pastors and people there. Not that we're coming in as these super-duper American Christians. We're coming in as brothers who've given some time to put our arms around them, to come up beside them and encourage them and say, stay the course, you know. Right. And we
Which
need
is what
that
Paul
too.
Did a lot of times.
Yeah. Yeah, so,
let's think about this. Some people want to see results right now. They don't have to do that.
That's right, and that's, we're driven to want immediate responses. How many people were saved? Well, you don't know.
Actually, we didn't hear of anyone who got saved. Well, people think it's a failure.
We sowed the gospel. We were faithful to the gospel. Those people heard the truth of the gospel. The Spirit of God has the seed we sowed, has the truth we gave, and now can work that in the hearts of the people there.
Okay.
That's it, yeah.
So we probably answered some questions. We probably brought about more
Right,
questions.
Possibly, yeah.
So I'm telling our listeners, if you're going, okay, I didn't quite understand this, or I think this is one of those issues that could, it's just as social justice could go wrong and how we presented it. If you've got a question, email us.
Right.
Let us know. We'd be glad to maybe address that in the next issue before we start going on our
right.
next episode.
So, right.
So anyway, well, it's been good. Fortunately, we're out of time. So.
I think this, let me say this, I said this to you earlier. I think a pastor, a youth minister, staff person, elder could take these three things. And they may expand on them.
Right.
Maybe they may think of other things, but these three things and work through them to give them a good grip on short-term missions, biblically speaking.
Well, very well. Very good. Well, we thank you for joining us today. We look forward to you being with us next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today.